Would you know what to do if you wanted to really obey God? This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. I expect that anybody who wants to turn to God, anybody who really would like to draw nigh unto God and, we'll say, begin living the Christian life or really have some relationship with God, I expect the natural thing to think about is, what must I do? What must I do to be saved? And I know that that question would be asked by anybody when you first try to understand about the gospel. The first thing is, well, what does God want of me? And here is a statement that the Lord Jesus made. I quoted it to you. It's in the Gospel of John in chapter 6. And by the way, we're going to be looking in the Gospel of John in chapter 6 from verse 28 through to verse 40. And so if you have your Bibles open and look in the 6th chapter, we're going to start reading in verse 28, and we're going to be noticing things that are here right through until you get to verse 40. Look at in chapter 6 at verse 28. They said, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? A very normal, ordinary request from people who want to know what it's all about. What are we going to do? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. In other words, this is what God wants you to do, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Now, I want you to notice that phrase, believe on Him. It's a little more than believe about Him, which, of course, you're going to have to do. But believing about Him is not quite enough. Believing Him is another thing, and you can go to that to some extent. If you've ever heard Him, then you can believe Him, and you can accept those things as far as they go. But this is believing on Him. In other words, you believe on Him or in Him the way you believe on a bridge or you believe in a medicine. You believe on a bridge when you drive on it. You believe in a medicine when you take it. And that kind of thing. So he says that this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. This believing on Him will include such things as this, that you accept Him as Lord. You not only believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died for you as your Savior, but you also understand that He came to be your Lord. You accept Him as Lord. You yield to Him in surrender. You surrender yourself to Him and His will, and you obey Him in daily action at all times. It isn't that someone tells you four things to do and you go and do the four things. It isn't that you memorize the eight things that ought to be done and you go out and practice doing those eight things and so on. You have in mind that the living Lord Jesus Christ is your head. The living Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God has in mind something that you should do. And if you believe on Him, you'll do what He has in mind that you should do. Believing on the Lord Jesus Christ looks to the Lord Jesus as if He were alive, takes Him as alive. It recognizes the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I know I'm here on earth, and I understand that the Lord Jesus Christ is up in heaven, and I've never seen Him up there, but I understand that He has given His Holy Spirit who will take the things of Christ and show them unto me, and I can expect to be inwardly convinced that the Lord Jesus is alive and that He is personally related to me. Now notice again, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. Now Him whom He hath sent, if you stop and think a minute, He could easily have said the Messiah. Suppose He had said that you believe on the Messiah. Well, that would have been a shorter sentence. But you know, a good many people would forget what the Messiah that means when you say the Messiah. They would forget what's meant by it. So here is this phrase, that you believe on Him whom He hath sent. In other words, there is someone that's authorized to do for you. There is someone that is authorized of God to be exercising Himself on your behalf. And this is the person in whom you're going to believe. The Bible has a word for this one who was set aside of God and honored of God for this act. The Bible calls Him the Messiah. He is the anointed one. He was the one chosen to do the will of God. And this is how the Lord Jesus refers to Himself, He whom God hath sent. the one who performs the will of God in current obedience in the ordinary things of everyday camping, he does what God wants him to do. This is the one. The work of God, what shall we work? The works of God. The work of God, then, is simply the direct obedience on our part in the living Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, this kind of obedience, this is not something you plan. This is not something you choose. This is not something that you carry out. Now, see what I mean. I mean to say that living the Christian life, so far as you're concerned, it isn't a case of you having a number of things that you're going to do. You have 8, 10, 12 things that you're going to do every day, and you're going to do these things every day. That's not what the Christian life really is. What the Christian life really is based on the idea that God is real and alive, and the Lord Jesus Christ is alive in the presence of God, and they want you to be doing something. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. There are things to be done that will stop before you, and you could help to get them done. That kind of an idea. Now, these things are already set up, and you're to move in and work with them. When the Lord Jesus had told them this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. God sends someone to lead you, and you follow him, that's believing on him. Now in verses 30 to 31, we find that they asked him for his, so to speak, asked him for his credentials. They said unto him, What sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And of course the he refers to Moses. And so they're saying, our fathers believed in Moses and they followed him, but they had something to go on. He fed them. He gave them bread from heaven. And what do you do? Notice what the Lord Jesus said. Verse 32. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. In other words, the Lord Jesus is saying, you're just overestimating Moses a little bit. When you say that Moses gave you that bread from heaven, that's not true. God did that back in those days. God gave it to you. Moses was the spokesman, but it was God that did it. And God is still doing the same kind of thing. And so here we have that God is now giving you the true bread, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. And then verse 33 tells you what it is. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This is the function, as you recognize immediately, of Christ Jesus. And this is the bread of God which is given for us. So if you were to ask yourself, what is the Lord Jesus Christ doing that would offer us ground to believe in him? He is quickening the dead. He is changing men's lives. He is regenerating men's souls. He is arousing and quickening men's hearts. This is what he is doing. The bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, and giveth life unto the world. Anybody that believes in him, he gives them eternal life, and they have it abundantly. Now in verse 34, these people said, Lord, give us evermore, give us this bread. And then he says in verse 35, the strong sentence we have, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. When he says, I am the bread of life, I am what will strengthen you to live. The word bread, the nourishment of it, the strength of it. I am the nourishment of your eternal life. I am the one who will supply you with eternal life in you. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. And by the way, in this connection, you can remember a passage in Matthew that says, Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When they're filled, they won't hunger anymore. When they're filled, they won't thirst anymore. And here it is. It'll be when they receive the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, when he has said, I am the bread of life, he that cometh to me shall never hunger, he means to say that he is the strength. When he says he's the bread, He's the one that makes you strong to serve God, and anyone believing in him and having the strength of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in him will never faint and will never fail to obey. In verses 36 to 37, you'll see that not everyone will receive him. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Not everyone will receive him, but some will, and those that do, these shall be saved. Now in verse 38, I came down from heaven to do my own, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. This is the pattern of living in Christ. He said it that way, and you and I will follow that way. This is the pattern for doing the work of God. Obedient collaboration on our part, working with him in doing the will of God. Then in verses 39 and 40, which is the last part of our portion for today, in verses 39 and 40 you will see that his procedure is to raise the dead. This is the Father's will which he hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is not only the resurrection of the body, which will take place. This is the resurrection of the life and the soul from within, so that you actually will be able to be inwardly strengthened by God himself. And his procedure is to raise the dead, to quicken the believer who believes in him, and to raise him from being dead in trespasses and sins. He will quicken them to believe the believer, to enable the believer to believe and obey. So we have in our mind now that the work of God is to put your trust in the living Lord Jesus Christ, because the living Lord Jesus Christ will give you the strength from within to serve God. Our God and Heavenly Father, help us more and more to understand this, to turn our hearts over to Thee, and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and minds so that we may be conscious of him always. Add thy blessing to us for thy name's sake. Amen.